Thompson, yes. Get it right here. Good morning to everyone. God is good. And all the time, God is good. You know, as I often say, we get up and we hear news stories and we hear more bad news than we do good news. I'm here to tell you this morning that there was more bad news on last Sunday when we got up. But you know something? We know the God who's in charge of everything, and God knew that news was going to be news before it became news. So we just put our faith and our trust in Him and leave it to Him, because He'll take care of everything. No doubt that those people whose loved ones are lost their lives are suffering right now. And we are going to be offering a prayer up for them in a moment. But also, there's still devastation going on in all parts of the world. The country of Puerto Rico is almost completely gone. But it was repaired, it was made at one time, it can be remade again. Because God has given man the technology to use to put it all back together again. And for that, we're so ever thankful. Let us now go to God in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, blessed be your name, O Lord. Blessed be your will and your ways. We're so thankful this morning for being able to come out to share another portion of that holy and divine word. As we come together to worship Thee in spirit and in truth, we're so thankful for this congregation, for its membership, its leadership, and all those who, Father, are here under the sound of my voice. We're so thankful this morning, Father, and we're praying that for those who might still be on their way, that they may get here with safety and security. Father, we are praying for the people who lost their lives, the families of the people who lost their lives in Las Vegas last week. We're praying for the people who are in the devastated zones around the world, that you might give them peace and hope if they follow you, for we already have hope, but we just need people to follow you more, Lord. And we thank you, God, for this morning, this beautiful morning. We're still in the warmth of the fall part of the year, and we're so thankful for that, O Lord, because we could have 2 inches of snow or more, but we're just so grateful for what you do for us, Lord. We're so grateful that you sent your Son down to this world to hang, bleed, and die on yonder's cross, that we might have a right to the tree of life. We're so thankful this morning that everything works for the good of those who love the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything, O Lord. And we pray and ask you to bless us now and bless each and every individual here and their families this morning. Bless those who have lost loved ones in the church especially, O Lord. Bless those this morning, Lord, that are holding up that bloodstained banner. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything, Lord, and as we move into the next portion, this portion of our services, we pray that things may be found decent and in order and be acceptable unto you. We're just so grateful, Father, that you have left us here. We pray for our politicians, Lord, who make the rules and the regulations, that they not make any rules or regulations that will harm us from worshiping Thee in spirit and in truth. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for everything you do for us. And Father, we're standing by waiting for your call to come one day. And we just know that it soon shall come. But we're just asking you, Lord, to be with us, watch over and keep us now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The scripture was read for your hearing from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 1 through 8. And from there, we're going to take a subject, we're not home yet. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 2 and 11, we are called pilgrims, strangers, and strangers. This world is not our home. We are on our way to heaven, but we have not made it yet. Life at its best down here can never compare to eternal life up there. Therefore, if heaven is going to be our eternal home, we should want to learn all we can about it. We should want to read about it, sing about it, and even tell others about it. Let us learn a few things about it today that we should probably already know, but let's go over it again anyway. We can never learn too much about where we plan and hope to live in our eternity. First of all, from that first verse in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, it says, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." We know where our home is at, but we're just trying to get there. Isn't that right, church? It has Hebrews 11 and chapter 11 and verse number 10 call it a city whose maker and builder is God. This tells us this heavenly city is built by God, a city with foundations that are eternal and able to bear up to the test of time. Unlike man-made cities, which cannot all the time bear up to what God sends its way, we should be trying to make it there, because according to Philippians 3 and 20, our conversation is in heaven. There's something about going home this morning that makes most of us feel good. You ever been on a vacation and you stay 2 weeks or whatever time you stay, but you always look forward to getting back home? Isn't that right? That makes most of us feel good about going home, and heavenly thoughts should make us feel extra good. Every Christian should be delighted when they read, hear, and learn something pertaining to heaven. Do you remember Stephen, who in Acts chapter 7 around verse 55, I want you to notice his reaction. "But he being full of the Holy Spirit, what did he do? He looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God, standing on the right hand of God." Verse 56 tells us that he sees heaven open and that the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Not only do we understand Jesus is in heaven, but we also get an understanding that heaven does exist with the Father and the Son there. However heaven is structured, I want to get there. Do you? Praise the Lord, for heaven is real, and through God's word, I know it to be possible to see God. In his Sermon on the Mountain in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Yes, we can look forward to life eternal with God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, if we just stay right with God, stay faithful and obedient. Somebody may ask the question, who will be in heaven? Well, we have the opportunity in this life to work on making heaven our home when we leave this world. We will no longer be able to work on getting there when we leave this world. In Luke chapter 10 and verse number 20, the Bible says, "Their names are written in heaven." We must not think because our names are on the church roll, that means they're in heaven as well. Because everybody that's on the church roll may not make it into heaven. Because you attend church, and some of us, we only attend church every so often. But we need to attend church all the time. Whenever the doors of the church are open, that's when we need to attend church. That's why we can't get tied up in church cliques. Oh yeah, I'm going there. Because some of them are far worse than the people in the world. And you may ask why. Because they know to do right, but they don't. They don't always do right. Some of them gossip. Many spread lies. And some are evildoers and evil thinkers. Now, I just thought I'd throw that in there. You could expect these kind of things from the world, but let it not be a surprise to you that it happens in the church too. We all need to know that we are not home yet. Those who have suffered for the cause of Christ may find their sufferings was well worth it when these words are uttered from Matthew 25 and 21. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Let's look at the text again, and starting with verse 2. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now, he who has prepared for us this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. Verse number 6. So we are always confident, knowing that we are at home in the body, that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. But we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. I'm telling you, church, home, heaven is our eternal home, and we need to strive to get there. The Bible class this morning gave us many pointers on trying to make heaven our home. That's when we'll know that all the suffering, all the persecution, all denying oneself has paid off when we hear those words from Matthew 25 and 21. When we get home, we shall recognize all the hard work was well worth it. According to Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9, John said, he beheld a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindred and people and of tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. So I say to anyone this morning who doesn't like people, heaven might not be for you. If you get to heaven, there will be many folk around you, too many to number. When we get home, oh, what a glorious day that will be. And yes, it will be wonderful there, Brother Thompson. Won't it be wonderful there? Yes, it will be wonderful there. Who and what will not be in heaven? The people who rejected Christ will not be in heaven. Let me run down the list for you from Revelation 21 and verse number 8. The fearful and unbelieving, the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Those people will not be there. Some of the same people you don't care to live around today, they won't be there. We will not have to live around them then, because when we get home to heaven, we will be all without them. We will be where we don't have to be around them. So I ask the question this morning, don't you want to go there? And if you do, you need to start getting ready this day to make it in. There are also some things that won't be in heaven as well. And I like this list in Revelations 21 and 4. And God shall wipe away tears, all tears from their eyes. And there shall be, listen to this, no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be more pain, for the former things are all past. No, church, we're not home yet, but we are on our way. We need to do our best to make it to a place of no more tears nor sorrow. That would be good enough right there, but it also tells us of no more pain. No more worrying about how we can make ends meet when right now we worry about making ends meet. No more doing a balancing act of deciding who gets paid this time and who waits till next time. In other words, all your loose ends will be tied up instead of tied ends coming loose. When we get home, God shall fix everything, even what we think is unfixable. We need to start asking God right now to help us follow Him that we may make it home with Him. Why, some may ask, is it so important to make it into heaven? Well, I'm so glad to ask, because I'm going to tell you why. It's where we shall meet the Godhead. And because there is not any place better to spend our eternity. Because Revelations 22 and verse number 1 and 2 describes it as having a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of God's throne in the Lamb. And verse number 2 tells us it contains a tree in the midst of the street. On either side of the river stands the tree of life, which bears 12 manner of fruit and yields a fruit every month. That's good for me, church. No more concerning about if you're eating the right things or if you're eating right. Right? We shouldn't be eating fruits for the, we'll just be eating fruits for the taking. This can all be ours if we wait, if we want it, if we live and do the right thing God's way and not our way. Look at the text again in verse number 8. So we are always confident knowing that, verse number 6, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. In other words, you can't see heaven. You just get a visual description of heaven. And if you believe in the Bible, you've got a description all throughout the Bible of heaven. And I'm so glad this morning that God breathed His inspired breath into the writers of this Bible and allowed them to write these words that we can see what heaven is like. Now thank God this morning there is a heaven. Thank God we won't have to be here and suffer through all what we go through on a daily basis. And you know, sometimes it's wonderful to just think that God, how good God really is to us. You know, and this may bring up a sore spot, but I'm going to bring it up anyway. You know, ladies and men, you know how sometimes you get into an argument with your spouse and then you wind up saying something that you didn't really mean to say? Then you have to go and beg his or her pardon. And then you ask yourself this question. Sometimes you ask yourself this question. Why did we get married in the first place? Now, my answer to the question is, why did we get married? We got married because we loved each other, or supposedly we did. But sometimes men and women just don't see eye to eye. Sometimes it seems as though I'm always right and you're never right is the right way to think. But that's not the right way to think. Marriage is a sharing process. You must share with one another. You must share the pain. You must share the suffering. You must share the enjoyment and the good times as well. Well, that's the way I'm trying to tell you. That's the way heaven is. Everything is going to be all right in heaven. Everything is going to be well taken care of by the Lord himself. Everything, when you go back to verse number 1, for we know that our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed. We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. God's house, God's building is not eternal. I mean, God's building is eternal in the heavens. And I want to go there. I don't know about you. I want to get there. So I'll put up with some of the stuff we have to go through while we're here. And I know that that's asking a lot of some of us. Lord, you want me to like those people that I can't stand. You want me to love those people I can't stand. Lord, you want me to forgive those people who didn't even ask me for forgiveness, but forgiving them anyway. How many times? 70 times 7 you have to forgive them. Lord, you want me to do right when I live in a world that's doing wrong. But if I want to make it to heaven, Lord, I know I must do these things. I know that my reward is in heaven. I know that my reward is coming one day. And I know that the Lord will make a way. When I consider the matter of time, time is really not that long. I can witness that. Because it seems just as yesterday I was a teenager. Now I'm not anymore. It seems as though just yesterday I could run from here down to 87th Street. Now I don't even want to walk from here to 87th Street. It seems as though time has moved on so fast in our lives that we sometimes get so caught up and we forget that we're not home yet. We're not home yet because we haven't made it yet. But we're on our way, church. And when we get there, won't it be wonderful there? As I said, yes, it will be wonderful there. When God takes away, wipes away all of our pains and all of our tears and all of our suffering, then I won't have to worry, am I going to be able to pay Marshall Field this month? Am I going to be able to pay GMAC this month? Am I going to be able to pay what I need to pay this month? No, I won't have to worry about no more bills, no more collection calls. You know how when you don't answer the phone because you know who it is already? I'm sure you've been there before. But nevertheless, God has got a better place for us when we get home, church. And I know that when we get home, church is going to be all right. Because God is good and God is wonderful and God is awesome. And God made heaven for us. But it's up to us if we want to get there. How do I get there? Well, I get there by being obedient to God's, doing God's will and being obedient to his word. Now, when I consider this matter even a little further, I think about what the Bible teaches us about doing the right thing. I think about how well pleasing and acceptable God is when we do the right thing. Then I consider the matter at hand of staying focused. And when I learn to stay focused, I feel that I can focus on doing the right thing. When I consider that this is a big world in which we live, and there are a lot of things going on in this world. There are a lot of things in this world that may seem good to us, but it's not good for us. When I consider all the rivers I have to cross, and all the burdens we have to bear, and all the things we have to go through, we must consider the fact that if it's right with God, then it's right with us. If it's wrong with God, then it's wrong for us. Now, if we want to prepare ourselves for heaven, just how do we do that? Well, the first thing we must do is learn to be obedient to God's word, as I just stated. Learn to do his will, and then you become a member of his body. Now, how do I become a member of the Lord's body? Well, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized right up here. Brother Jackson is willing and ready and able. You know, God didn't have to leave us here this morning. When you open your eyes this morning, you needed to realize that it's not because you shook yourself and woke yourself, but it's because God touched the sleepy eyelids and raised them open. And God calls us to come back to life. You know, I always ask God to bring me back to life in the morning when I say my prayers at night. Because I can't help myself when I'm sleeping. I don't know what's going on, and neither do you. So we have to ask and look for a higher power to take care of us while we sleep and slumber. You don't know what might cross across you. You don't know what might come up on you, in you, in your house on you these days. But being that God is good, God can protect us. God can protect us from all the evils of life if we just but allow him to. When God speaks, the world listens. And God has a way of speaking to us. God knows what's right for us, and what's right for us we may not think is good for us, but God knows it's right for us. And we're all trying to get to heaven, I presume. At least I would think so. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. And if we're all trying to get to heaven, let's do better by one another while we're down here. Because we got to do better by one another here so that when we get there, we can be thankful to God for allowing us to be there. And you know, you can't say that you hate me and then expect to get to heaven. You've got to love me while I'm here with you. While I walk with you every day, you've got to love me, and you've got to enjoy being alive and being in God's care. Now, I know some like to talk about one another all the time. Well, he ain't this and he ain't that. She ain't this and she ain't that. But I'm going to tell you something. You better drop all that evil communication. You better drop it, because God is listening. God hears everything. He knows what you're in need of before you ask. But he also hears you before you ask. And he knows what you're going to ask of him. And if you're suffering with a problem where you don't like somebody or you don't love somebody, you need to ask the Lord to put a little love in your heart. And if you're asking to put a little love in your heart, learn to ask him also to season your speech. He ain't nothing but an old so-and-so. You've got to learn to temper your speech. You've got to learn to say what God would want you to say and have you to say rather than what you want to say. You may not like me for saying this, but God is listening to everything we say. He's going to bring up every idle word and every idle deed that has come out of your mouth. But I don't know about you, but when we get home, we ain't home yet. When we get home, oh, what a joyous day that will be when we get home. But we ain't home yet. We're trying to get home. We're on our way home, but some are going to fall by the wayside, by the way. So while you're running this race called life, You've got to stay on the track. You've got to stay inside of the track. Otherwise, if you fall off the track, you're in trouble. But I know about a man who can keep me on the upright path. I know he can keep you on the upright path too. That man is God. That man is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me tell you just for a minute about Jesus Christ. Do you know that when he went to the cross and they nailed his hands to the cross, they drove spikes, a nail through his hand, and then they drove a spike through his feet and his ankle and nailed him to the cross. And you know what? He was doing that for us. He wasn't doing that for you, for himself. He was doing that so we could get home. And he's got that home waiting for us, because he told us in John 14, and I believe it's around chapter verse number 2, I go to prepare a place for you that you may come where I am. But you know something? We've got to change our ways, some of us. We've got to change our ways in order to get there, because if we don't change our ways, we're not going to get there. And getting there is half the battle. You might even say it's 90% of the battle is getting there. Because you know why? Because you're going to run into some things that you don't like in life. And it's all going to depend on what your reaction is to those situations you run into. Now, if you walk out of this church building and you hear a gunshot, what's your first reaction? You want to get down on the ground, right? But when you leave this building and you go home and you open up your Bible and you read a passage from your Bible, what's your first reaction to that? Some will say, well, I don't believe that. Some will say, well, I'm going to do that. Others may say, well, I'll get around to it eventually, but not now, because I'm not home yet. But I'm going home and I expect to get there. And when I get there, I'm going to be asked about a lot of these things in the judgment. Before I get there, I should say, I'm going to be asked about a lot of these things at the judgment. Every knee shall bow. Every knee shall bow. Even your bad knees shall bow. But you're going to bow before the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because you're going to have to answer to all of his questions that he asks you. And right now you have an opportunity to create a better profile for yourself. You can create a profile that says, Lord, I love you and I'm going to do your will because I want to get home, because I know I'm not home yet. Or you can say, Lord, I'm just going to ignore what you say and hopefully you're going to take me home anyway. Or you can go the third round and just say, I'm just not going to do it, Lord. Do what you will with me, because I don't believe in it no way. But I'm going to tell you something. Heaven is real. Hell is just as real as heaven. And if you don't go to one, starts with H, both of them starts with H-E, but one has a third letter as an A. The other one has a third letter as an L. And if you don't go to one, you're guaranteed to go to the other one, because there's no other place you can go. It's heaven or it's hell. And when you get there, there'll be gnashing of teeth, the Bible teaches me, from the hell fires. And when you get there and you start to think and you start to remember the rich man and Lazarus, go back and tell my brothers not to come to this place, but you won't be able to go back anymore. So you got to get ready right now while you're on your way home, because you're not home yet. We are not home yet. And it's going to be a glorious time when we get home. But we ain't there yet. We're not home yet. And as I bring this message to a close, I just wanted to highlight a few things about heaven to let you know that heaven is real. God is going to be the man that we see there. Jesus is going to be there. God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're all going to be there. And I like heaven better than I do hell, I'll tell you that. Because I can't stand a lot of heat. I can stand more just neutral air than I can heat. I don't like winter that well either, but I can stand a little in the middle a little bit. But hell is going to be hot. And heaven is going to be quenching for our thirst for trying to get home. Because we ain't home yet, church. And when we get there, God is going to wipe away all of our tears. I just read for you a few minutes ago. No more tears, no more pain, no more suffering. No more guessing where I'm going with this month's paycheck. No more thinking about paying somebody when I know I need to pay them. But as I told you, every time you get one tied in, a tied in comes loose every time. But when I think about it even further, church, I'm so glad this morning that we have the church. We have the church. And I can tell you about something about your GPS. Your GPS won't give you instructions on how to get to heaven. Only the Bible will, and the church will teach you how to get to heaven. But your GPS won't get you there. Your cell phone won't get you there. Your Twitter account won't get you there. None of those electronic things will get you to heaven. They may bring you a message on how to get to heaven, but they can't take you. Only God can get you there, and Jesus has already died that we might get there. So the next question is, do you want to make your calling and election sure? You come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized, as I told you a little bit ago. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
29, 29. All to Jesus.